slide. Didn't put these on the sheet, but after the service is over, when Bible class begins, last week we had a little bit of a problem because we had folks sitting down front and you had to move. You do not have to move today. Okay, I'll be teaching from down front, so you can just sit where you are and you don't have to get all bent out of shape and move. You know, I know once people get seated, they just don't want to move, so you don't have to do that today. Also, when Bible class begins, we need every individual, children included, in the auditorium this morning. Okay, for just a couple of minutes, we're going to, our incentive Sunday is today, and so some children are going to be acknowledged, and we want some parents to see that, so everybody will stay in the auditorium right at the beginning of our Bible classes, so don't forget that. Also, remember Lorraine Lyons, she has really been sick. I mean, just 2 weeks of the flu, and then she went out not long ago and had a fall and bruised herself again pretty badly, so she just does not feel well at all, so keep her in your prayers. But we're glad that all of you are here. I don't know if you look bright and bushy-tailed or not, but you're here, and we're glad of that. There are all kinds of problems that can plague individual congregations of the Lord's people. It might be that false doctrine enters into a congregation and begins to agitate and separate members one from another, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. It might be that somebody within a congregation begins to involve themselves in public sin, and that sin is either dealt with or that sin is overlooked, and in either case, there is a problem within that congregation, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. It might be that there are certain members of a congregation that have relationship problems one with another, some kind of a struggle, some kind of an affliction among them, and that needs to be worked out. But until it does, there are problems within the local church, Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3. It might be that a congregation is plagued with persecution from without, Acts 8, verse 1 beginning. All of these things are negatives as far as congregations of the Lord are concerned. And every one of those problems can take a toll on a congregation. But I believe that there is another problem that can inflict greater damage upon a congregation than any of those that we have mentioned. And the problem about which I speak is spiritual discouragement. Spiritual discouragement. I find it interesting that when you go out and you talk to unfaithful members of the body of Christ, they're not very discouraged about much. They're just going about living their lives, and they have made a conscious decision that they're not going to be faithful and dedicated, so not much as far as spiritual things concern them. The same is true oftentimes with the lukewarm. You go and you talk to them, and they are neither hot, they are neither cold, and therefore spiritual discouragement is not something that plagues these individuals. Spiritual discouragement, most of the time, tends to affect those individuals who are faithful. My friends, we're talking about those individuals who are the workers in the local church. Those individuals who have dedicated themselves to the service of Jesus Christ, come what may. Those individuals who are deeply concerned about the ways of the Almighty God. When those individuals begin to grow discouraged, it can take a tremendous toll upon the local congregation. In fact, if only a handful of individuals grow discouraged, the tone and tenor of an entire congregation can literally be changed. For the next few moments, we want to talk about this disabling, yes, sometimes deadly disease known as spiritual discouragement. Point number one, let's talk about the definition of discouragement. When you write that word down and you look for a root word, there is a big one that just pops out at you, isn't there? Discouragement. And it's the word courage. Courage is the root word of the word discouragement. I find it interesting that in both the Old and New Testaments, God's people are exhorted to be individuals of great courage. Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel, was he not, into the promised land. And when he took over the reins, God spoke with him. And three times in Joshua 1, he exhorts him with these words, "Be strong and of a good courage." Joshua 1:6, Joshua 1:9, Joshua 1 verse 18. We turn into the New Testament, and if we look up the word courage, guess what we find? It's not there. Not one time in the pages of the New Testament is the word courage mentioned, because there is another word that takes its place. And the word is boldness. In Ephesians chapter 6 verses 18 and 19. The Apostle Paul exhorts the church at Ephesus to pray for him. And one of the things that he desires that they pray for is that he will with boldness speak forth the message of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that I'm going to be faced with troublesome times. I'm going to be faced with difficult times. I'm going to stand in opposition against other individuals. And guess what I need? I need boldness. I need courage to do that. But notice that our word today is discouragement. And what that word dis does, it negates the word courage. In other words, we are talking about our courage being nullified. The literal definition of courage is this: to have heart. And when you and I grow discouraged, guess what happens? We lose heart. Don't we? And sometimes we can look into the eyes of individuals. We can look into the countenance of a person. We can hear that individual speak to us. We can watch that individual as he goes about his daily behaviors. And especially, we can watch them as they go about the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? That spiritual discouragement just manifests itself, does it not? They are slow. They are sluggish. They are negative. They are not enthusiastic and energetic like we need to be in service to the Almighty God. They are discouraged. We turn to Psalm 38 and we find a child of God who is greatly discouraged. Listen to some of his words. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Verse 6. I am distressed and sore broken. I have roared, he says, by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Verse 8. My heart panteth. My strength faileth. As for the light of mine eyes, they also are gone out. Verse 10. I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Verse 17. Folks, there is a picture, is it not, of an extremely discouraged and down individual. How would you have liked to have entered into the home of the psalmist right now? Wouldn't that be a pleasant visit? He just looks you square in the eyes and he says this: I'm troubled. I'm broken. I'm weak. I'm feeble. I have no light in mine eyes. I am bowed down and I weep and I sorrow continually all day long. Listen to his words again in verse 17. I am ready to halt. I'm ready to stop. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready just to give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Folks, there is a spiritually distraught, spiritually discouraged individual. That's what it looks like. That's discouragement. Point number two. The derivation of spiritual discouragement. There's a big word, isn't it? The derivation. What we mean by that is this: the source, the root of spiritual discouragement. What is it that causes children of God, faithful children of God, diligent children of God, what is it that causes them to grow discouraged? There is a prime number one reason, and his name is Satan. Folks, Satan's prime mission is to get us to sin against God, isn't it? There is nothing more that Satan desires than for us to look at the will of God, violate it, and continue on our way. He would love for our souls to be damned to a devil's hell. That's his mission, to destroy. But you know, the faithful don't give in that easy, do they? The faithful have a tendency to stand against Satan, and they don't yield all the time. And therefore, Satan has other devices that he uses against the child of God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And one of the devices that he uses against us is discouragement, isn't it? If he cannot get you to sin against God, he wants you to look at your Christian life and he wants you to say, there is nothing to that. It's not fulfilling. There's no joy in it. All I am is down and depressed all the time. It is a miserable life. And many in the body of Christ spend their days in just such a situation, don't they? And I found it in every congregation of the Lord's people. What's interesting to me is all the avenues and all the things that Satan can use in order to get us down in his service. Church problems. He can use that, can he? I may not be a part of that church problem. I may not in any way be affected by it personally, but guess what? I see it going on in the local congregation. And every worship service, every Bible class, there are struggles and there are fights and there are arguments and there are disagreements. And folks, even those outside of the circle of the problem can grow discouraged therein, can't they? Sin within a congregation can cause individuals to grow discouraged within that congregation. What if our elders were to arise this Sunday morning and make this announcement unto us? For the next year, we are going to be carefully considering and getting your opinion as to whether or not we should have instrumental music at Oceanside. I don't know about you, but for me, the next year would be miserable. You know that? Here we are contemplating, here we are talking about, here we are planning possibly to invite sin into the worship of the Almighty God. Folks, I'd grow discouraged over the course of the next year, wouldn't you? Unmet goals, they bring discouragement, don't they? Here we are, we challenge the congregation. We invite them to do great things. We want them to press forward. We want the congregation to grow. We want this congregation to be just as strong as we possibly can. And yet those goals go unmet. And it is almost as if nobody really cares. In fact, individuals make all kinds of excuses as to why they cannot meet the goals that have been set. Just can't do it. And we grow discouraged. Sometimes there are personal problems within our lives, aren't there? Challenges and difficulties and struggles, regardless of where their source is. And those things, because they just constantly plague us, cause us to grow spiritually discouraged, don't they? Sometimes there are desires that members of a congregation have for themselves. Did you know that? This is what I believe the local church should do for me. And so they stay in that congregation for a period of time, and all of a sudden they find that their lusts, their desires, their wants, and their wishes are not being met. So they grow discouraged. I find people that like to focus on negatives grow discouraged, don't you? Are there negatives in every congregation of the Lord's people? Oh, you bet. Absolutely. Just follow me around a little while and you might grow a little discouraged. I'm serious. There's things that you can look at in every congregation of the Lord's people that will cause you to be just as discouraged as you could possibly be. Well, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. They could do this, they could do that. Well, look at that over there, that's bad. Can't they do better? Why aren't they doing this? And we just look at all the negatives within that congregation. And folks, looking at all the negatives can cause me spiritual discouragement. And the one that I find that I have to fight the most is this. I have a tendency to watch my brethren. I guess that's because I'm a preacher. And when you grow discouraged, and when you grow bitter, and when you grow negative, even if it's just two or three, guess what? It causes me to start walking that path of discouragement. I want them to be better. I want them to do better. I want them to grow. I want them to be faithful. I want them to be diligent. I want them to get out of that lethargic attitude and spirit. What can I do? And sometimes it seems as though there's nothing I can do, folks. That's discouraging. You know what? People have their mindset that they're not going to do better. And it grows discouraging. Satan uses every avenue that he possibly can to get me just as down in the service of God as he can. And folks, the less that I do, the more displeasing I am to the Almighty God. And Satan rejoices, does he not? That's his mission. He does not want the church to flourish. He does not want the church to grow. He does not want this congregation of the Lord's people to be happy in Christ Jesus. And he sits upon his little throne just rejoicing when your spirit is broken. What is the derivation of spiritual discouragement? Satan, that's who it is. Now, if you are in that number right now at this present time, if you are discouraged, folks, you need to understand that's the source. And as long as you bow to it, and as long as you follow it, you are following in the desires of an evil, cruel, wicked taskmaster, and you need to stop. But you say what? How? That's the question, isn't it? How? How do I get out of this discouraged state that I'm in? Folks, that's the key, isn't it? And that's where we're going to spend the remainder of this lesson and all of next Sunday morning's lesson. The defeat of spiritual discouragement. Point number one. How do I overcome discouragement? Admit I'm discouraged. When I first get discouraged, it doesn't really feel like it's a big deal, does it? It just feels like there's a few ounces of pressure on my shoulder, and I really ought to say upon my heart. But folks, if I don't deal with that quickly, if I don't deal with that rapidly, guess what? In just a matter of minutes, in a matter of hours, those ounces can go to pounds, and those pounds can weigh me down so that I can barely move in my Christian life. So what do I need to do? I need to find somebody who's energetic. I need to find somebody who's enthusiastic. And guess what I need to tell them? I'm just as discouraged as I possibly can be. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Now, when I say admit, acknowledge your spiritual discouragement, here's something you need to understand. That is not the only step. I find some people who just love to talk about it, don't you? Almost just get you nauseous. Every time you're around them, they're discouraged. They're never happy. Ever. And they just love to talk about it. Well, I'm down. I just don't feel good. This thing in Christ is not fun anymore. I just don't have the service that I used to. And you pray for them, and guess what? This afternoon you see them again. I just don't know. It's that way week in and week out, isn't it? That's not the only step, folks. Yes, admit it. Yes, acknowledge it. Yes, find someone to confess that to. But it's not the only step. And you say, well, what then, Vic? How about this? Give it to God. Somebody comes to me and they say, hey, Vic, I'm discouraged. You know what I tell them? You need to give that discouragement to God. And I know what individuals think when I say that. They think this. Well, what he's telling me to do is go to God in prayer about this matter. And yes, that's partly right. Partly right. But when I say that I want you to give it to God, that is exactly what I mean. If I've got $100 and I give it to Bob, I don't have it anymore. It's gone. Now Bob has it. I've given it to God. Kathleen says, why'd you do that $100? I gave it to Bob and he was elated. But I don't have it anymore. See, we understand that when it comes to tangible things, right? But individuals think that when I say give it to God, just go to God and talk. Well, folks, talking and talking and talking is not enough, is it? Because you see, most spiritual discouraged people that come to me says, Vic, I've prayed about this 1,000 times. You know what they never did? They never gave it to God. Listen to what the Bible says. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for your soul. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. So the question is what? How do you do that, isn't it? How do you give it to God? Let's assume for a moment that there is a single mom who has a child, and she knows I have to work in order to support my family. But she wakes up this morning and her little child is just as sick as he can be. Not a high fever, but enough fever that she's somewhat concerned. Watery eyes, scratchy throat, a cough, achy, a little whiny. Sounds almost like husbands, doesn't it? But the mom is deeply concerned, isn't she? I've got a problem, folks. She has a burden now placed upon her. In her mind, she says this, I don't need to go to work today, but I need to go to work today. I can't lose 8 hours of pay. I need that money to pay the bills. And in her mind, she says, you know, I've got a wonderful babysitter that I can call who doesn't live far from me. She takes that child, she bundles that little baby up. She gets everything she needs as far as supplies go. May even bring a little can of chicken noodle soup. She goes over to that babysitter, she knocks on the door, that babysitter comes out, and the first thing the babysitter does is reach out and just grabs that little baby. Mom hands everything to the babysitter. And mom starts to walk off, and in her mind she says, you know, that's my little baby. And she turns around and she starts to take a step back, and the babysitter says, don't worry about your little one. Everything is fine. I'll take care of her today. What can mom do? Mom can get in that car. She can go to work. And she can have a productive day. Why? Because she gave that problem to a babysitter, didn't she? Not just any babysitter. One that's reliable, one that cares, one that's concerned, and one that is well able to take care of that little one. That sounds like my God. Doesn't it? You tell me what problem God cannot deal with. You tell me that. Well, Vic, it's just so hard to give it to God. I know, but it can be done. How do you know? Because we have an example of it in Scripture. It's found in 1 Samuel, the first chapter. Just go home and read that today. We have a woman by the name of Hannah who cannot bear children, can she? Folks, that was devastating to a woman in Israel. It was a shame for a woman in Israel. And therefore that caused her great grief, did it not? But there was a second woman in the house named Peninnah who could have children. And she just ragged Hannah all the time about that. So she has a dual problem, doesn't she? She has no children. And she has a mean woman attacking her. What does Hannah do? Verses 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, she takes that problem directly to the throne of God. Now here's what's interesting. Prior to her going to God, she wept and she could not eat. Now I want you to look at verse 18, the very last statement in that verse. So the woman went away and wept not, or did eat. And her countenance was no more fallen. What'd she do, folks? She went in prayer to God and she just turned it over to God, didn't she? Just gave it to God. This is your problem now. Just like you give the child to the babysitter, this is all yours right now. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's all yours, God. And she gets up and she goes about her life and she's happy from that point on. Folks, you can do it. But it is a matter of faith in the Almighty God, is it not? That's what it's a matter of. Point number three. How do I overcome this spiritual discouragement? Look to Jesus, folks. Write down Hebrews 12:3. That's a beautiful text. The Bible says, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. That last part describes a spiritually discouraged person, doesn't it? Weary and faint in your minds. And what does the writer say? Consider Jesus who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Question. Was Jesus emotionally distraught ever in his life? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Matthew 26:39. Did Jesus ever suffer physical pain? Upon the cross he cries out, I thirst. John 19:46. Did our Lord ever suffer loneliness? The Bible says, with regard to his disciples, they all forsook him and fled. All of them. Matthew 26:40. Did Jesus ever wonder why? Oh, yes. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? But guess what he did? He gave it to God, didn't he? That's the point we just made. He was there in the garden, was he not? And what did he pray three times? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he arose and he went through the next several hours of the worst agony that a human being could experience, did he not? And just prior to his bowing his head, commending his spirit unto God, what did he say? It is finished. He did it. How? Because he gave it to God. We got to look to Jesus, folks. And we got to do like Jesus did. If he can overcome one of the most horrible deaths in all of human history, surely I can overcome those little struggles and problems and difficulties and discouragements that come and plague me in my life. If Jesus can, I can. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I've got 7 more points. And that's why we got next week, isn't it? Folks, if you're discouraged spiritually, guess why? Satan's on the attack. That's why. And if you allow spiritual discouragement to linger in your Christian life, in your inner man, it is like a cancer that can eventually destroy you. Spiritual discouragement will alienate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're not careful, spiritual discouragement will cause you to depart from the living God. Remember the picture of the psalmist a while ago? Boy, that was negative, wasn't it? But you want to know what? The psalmist knew what he needed to do. Listen to him in verse 50. In thee, O Lord, will I put my hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Guess what he's about to do, folks? He's about to give it to God, isn't he? Where do you stand in your spiritual life, folks? I look around and I see people spiritually discouraged. And you know what's interesting is sometimes that spiritual discouragement is hidden, isn't it? People walk around with a big smile on their face. How you doing? I'm fine. No, you're not. Down inside, you're dying. Down inside, you're dying. You turn around and all of a sudden, they're gone. And you wonder, what happened? They've hidden it. Maybe for weeks or months on end, we need to get rid of spiritual discouragement. Maybe today you need to turn that over to God. Give it to him for totally and completely. It's not going to bother me anymore. Maybe you're not a child of God this morning, but we want you to be. Folks, the only way to draw truly upon the reservoir of God's help is to be a faithful child of the living God. Isn't that right? So maybe today you need to put on Christ in the waters of baptism. The Bible says that we must have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, repent of sins, confess his precious name, and be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Do you need to do that this morning? We encourage you to. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.